You may be seated. Go ahead and find your sermon notes for this morning. If you like, you can fill in the blanks. Follow along as we go. More importantly, live out the message that you hear. So we're in the second week of parables. We begin with this premise this morning. Point number one, you can fill in the blank. We human beings have a perception problem. We don't always see things the way that they truly are. We think they're different, and oftentimes we are way off the mark. For example, there is a charming story that Thomas Wheeler tells about himself. He is the former CEO, chief executive officer of the Mass Mutual Life Insurance Company. Years ago, he was driving along the interstate along with his wife, and they noticed that they were about out of fuel, so they pulled off on an exit, and it was back in the days when at a gas station, people actually pumped your gas for you. So he saw the lone attendant there, and he asked him if he would indeed fill up the tank and check the oil. He would take a little stroll around the station, been driving for a while, needed to stretch his legs. And so he did that, and when he got back, he noticed that his wife was in an animated conversation with the attendant. So he paid the guy and he got in the car and he asked his wife, "You know that guy?" And she said, "Well, as a matter of fact, we went to high school together. And I actually dated him for about a full year." "Wow, yeah," the guy said, "okay. Well, it's probably a good thing then, don't you think, that you met me so you could become the wife of a CEO?" And she said, "Well, dear, if I hadn't met you, he'd be the CEO and you would be the gas station attendant," right? We have a perception problem. Often we are way off, especially when it comes to spiritual things. And so, Jesus tells all of these parables that we might gain some insight, especially about the kingdom of heaven. And so our first two parables for this morning, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a small mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Now, why would he take a mustard seed? It's one of the tiniest seeds that you can have, about the size of a grain of sand. You can put literally 1,000 of them in your hand. And yet, if you plant them, they will grow into one of the larger shrubs or bushes in the garden. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, very tiny as well, that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. So what's the point? I mean, who takes 60 pounds of flour to bake unless you actually run a bakery? Well, his point is this: that God is at work, even though our human eyes fail to perceive what is happening. Just like in all of that dough, just a tiny amount eventually will spread through the entire thing, and it will change it completely. He tells these parables because even today we have this whole idea, this concept of bigness. We live in this vast universe. You can go out at night and see billions of stars. We talk about the big sky and the big oceans and the vast forests and everything. Even our problems seem so huge that they could never be solved. Things like poverty or homelessness. And yet Jesus is saying that so often it's just the little tiny thing that makes all the difference. Just think back to the last number of years, this huge pandemic that we had that involved most of the world is caused by a little tiny virus. Or maybe more close to home, in your own relationships, it It's often a single word that causes a rift between you and the person that you love. Now, on the other hand, it can be a little tiny thing, maybe a heart valve the size of my thumbnail that could actually save my life. His point being that it's the tiny things that can make a difference, and so also in the kingdom of God. In fact, God did not use a legion of angels or a grand computer or all the principalities and powers of the world to begin his kingdom. It started with a little tiny seed planted in the womb of a peasant girl. And that little tiny seed grew then and became a full-grown human being, a full-grown man who would live and then die and give himself for us on the cross. Now, because of that, we can belong to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And yet today, and certainly in Jesus' time with his disciples, it doesn't always seem like it's going that great. Remember, how many disciples did Jesus begin with? Just a few. 12. And those disciples had problems. They had issues, and it didn't look like the kingdom was growing much. So Jesus says, it will be different. It's not always going to be like that, like it is now. This is what you get for now, but things will be put right one day, finally, on the last day. And don't we feel like that oftentimes as followers of Christ? Sometimes we wonder, where's the justice in the world? And Jesus says, it will be different. For now, this is what you get. But one day, it will be put right. And God and all of his followers will indeed win. It may look small now, but it's going to grow. And so remember from last week the words of Jesus, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now he goes on and he tells a couple of more parables, ones we know as the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. So a man, he finds a treasure in a field, and then he buries it once again, and he sells all that he has so that he might buy that field and its treasure. And the second parable is very similar. There's a merchant. He discovers these pearls of great value, and he sells all that he has so that he might purchase them. Now, you heard in the children's message, this is the traditional discipleship reading, which basically we call the cost of discipleship. What does it cost? Or what should we be willing to give up? The kingdom. It's of such great value that every single one of us should be willing to give up all that we have in order to gain it. So it's kind of like the coaches tomorrow. Anybody, by the way, going to be watching college football national championship tomorrow? Some of you are. How many of you are rooting for Notre Dame? All right. How many for Ohio State? How many don't care? All right. There you go. So if I were a college coach, either one of those, if I'm in that locker room, and I've done this before as I was a coach as well, I would give my very best motivational, inspirational speech tomorrow just before we go out into the field so that my players would be willing to run through the proverbial brick wall because this is the greatest game. It is the most important thing that you are ever going to do. So guys, let's go out there for the Gipper, right? Here's a problem. You want to see me run through that brick wall? A real brick wall? It's impossible. It would not be a pretty sight. I'm not able to do it. Here's the problem. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven or our salvation, we can't earn it. Even if we did decide to give everything, all that we have and all that we are, it wouldn't be enough. It's why it's called a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved. It is a gift, not by works. Even our faith is a gift from God so that no one can boast. So as we look at this, these parables here in the cost of discipleship, let's take a look in a slightly different way. So now I'm going to quiz you and see if you were paying attention last week. Or if you weren't, just give the typical Sunday school answer. I think you know what it is. Who was the man last week in the parable of the sower who spread the seed all over the place? Anybody? Jesus. How about this one? And you're catching on if you haven't yet. The parable of the talents, the man, the king, who gave 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent to the servants. Who is the man? Jesus. So why do we always insist in these 2 parables that the man is someone else? Let's make this, as we should, in all of Matthew's parables about the kingdom of God, about the one who brings in the kingdom, who is Jesus. So let's give it a Christological reading. So let's agree that Christ is the man. He's the one who sees a treasure in the field. And then he buries it, and he gives up everything that he has. He sells everything to buy the field, which includes the treasure. Or the merchant who sees these pearls of great value, and he sells everything that he has in order to purchase them. You see, we are the treasure. The disciples, the followers of Jesus are the hidden treasure. We are the pearl of great value, and Jesus would give up everything. He would leave his throne in heaven, the glory and the praise and the adoration of the angels and the saints. He would give up his divinity so that he might purchase us with his innocent suffering and death. He would shed his precious blood so that we could be with him forever. So my friends, this truth that Christ is the man who gives up everything and we are the treasure, that he values us so much that he would give his all for us, that truth, it should give us incredible joy. We're the treasure. And tremendous confidence. Follow Jesus. After all, if he would give up everything to win our salvation, he's not going to lose us to any of the problems or challenges of this world. This morning, it's our privilege as we discover or rediscover how valuable we are to God, that others are just as valuable. And even as we are that treasure, we are also called to be salt and we are called to be light, so that others might know Jesus as we already do. It's kind of that parable of the sower that we heard last week all over again. Even as Jesus has planted the good seed in our hearts, we're to plant that seed everywhere as well. So I want to introduce to you this morning on this Life Sunday, Julia Hines. She is here on behalf of